Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 86 for Friday, Christmas Day, December 25th, 2015.
Welcome to the best of the Weekly Dose. We've put together quite a show for you. Feature interviews from some of the fastest fat biker racers in the world that also happen to be women.
Fat Bike Radio and the Weekly Dose of Fat is sponsored by Surly Bikes. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
Our first encore interview comes from show number 39 and features ITI champion and world record holder, Heather Best.
Please welcome to the radio show, the women's ITI champion and world record holder, Heather Best.
Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thanks, guys. I think that title sounds a little inflated, but we'll just roll with it.
Heather has joined us on the program to talk about her preparations for the Iditarod Trail Invitational, a.k.a. the ITI.
First, we should congratulate Heather on last year's world record win of the 350-mile category.
And we have to send congratulations out to Heather's husband, Jeff Holtley, for his men's 1,000-mile world record this year.
Again, guys, thanks. But I have to say, in both cases, I think we were prepared, but we were really handed some pretty phenomenal trail conditions.
So I heard that the ITI this year will be run on a different course. Can you maybe fill our listeners in on that? Wish they were customers.
Actually, it's actually going to be run on the identically same trail as last year, which is the traditional Iditarod Trail. The dog teams are moving north, though. They are moving up to Fairbanks, where we haven't had a rainy winter, and we have a snowpack still. So they've changed the dogs off the traditional Iditarod Trail, and they're setting up a different route, mostly along large rivers, while the human-powered race is going to go out of Kinnick as usual. And actually, the gnome-bound folks were supposed to go on the southern route like the dogs this year. But now that there will be no southern route because the dogs aren't going to be going there, they're going to be heading to Nome on the northern route just like last year.
That's pretty cool. Tell us about what you do to prepare for a 350-mile ultra.
Well, mostly I just ride my bike a lot, and I try and piece together a few big multi-day rides. And then, additionally, I ride when I don't really want to, kind of like when it's 40 below. And then I spend a lot of time fretting over gear, drop bags, things of that nature, I suppose.
So last weekend, you were up, you did the White Mountains 100 course, right, with Kevin and a couple other people?
Yeah, something like that. Jeff and I rode from our house on trails all the way out to the White Mountains and spent a night in the cabin with some friends, and then the next day, we headed out on the 100-mile loop and had a 30-mile head start on Kevin, and he kind of slowly caught up with us through the day. And then we stayed another night in the White Mountains and then rode home the next day via trails while Kevin just did the 100-mile loop in one day.
Cool. And so just for our listeners, kind of how many hours in the saddle is that and approximately how many miles?
First day was like 52 miles in about 8 hours. The second day, Jeff and I only pulled off 60 miles that day because the trails were really slow, and that was in probably like 10 to 12 hours riding. And then the last day, about 45 miles, and I think about 7 hours to come home.
So do you do
all... The trail conditions out on the White Mountains loop were kind of not ideal. I mean, during the race, they'd be much, much faster for 100 miles.
So when you're training, do you carry a good portion of the gear that you're going to use during the race, or do you try and simulate those loads, or do you just ride with what you need that day?
Well, we were riding fully packed for the three-day trip this time, and I carried a lighter weight bag than I would carry in the ITI because we were sleeping inside cabins, and I didn't want to be in a 20-below bag indoors where it was heated. But Jeff was carrying all of his normal ITI gear. And I had most of my gear, just not the exact components that I would use for outdoor bivvying and stuff like that. So
last year, you rode last year's race on a titanium fatback. Are you riding the same bike this year, or have you gotten one of the new Corvus Carbons?
I have not gotten a new Corvus, and that's not because I don't want a new Corvus. That is because I'm riding the same titanium fatback as last year because it's a custom bike that was made for me, and I'm kind of have some freakish proportions. So I don't fit super well on a medium frame because my legs are too long and there's too much seat post sticking out. But on a large frame, I'm kind of stretched out over the top too, and so I'm just sticking with a frame that fits me.
Well, Heather, the bell indicates the start of the lightning round of the interview.
Please answer the following five questions muy rápidamente.
Best drop bag snack.
That's a moving target, but I'll go with dark chocolate peanut butter cups.
Oh. Mucklucks or Wolfhammer?
Neither for me, but gun to my head, I'll say Mucklucks.
All right.
Brad Pitt or George Clooney?
Depends on the day or the role.
Oh. Groomed or ungroomed?
Ungroomed, but a recent pass by a dog team is a plus.
And the final question of the lightning round.
Your favorite fat bike tire for the ITI?
Dillinger 4.
Very good.
Well, we really have enjoyed having you on the show, Heather.
Yeah, Heather, buena suerte for the ITI coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys. Let's just hope we're riding more than we're pushing.
All right. Thanks again, Heather, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio. Our second segment is an interview with 45 North Pro Rider April Morgan. It's from show number 41.
Welcome to the radio program, April. April is...
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, right on, April. So you're the current points leader in the Great Lake Fat Bike Race Series. How's that going?
Yeah, it's going well so far. There's been three races so far this season, and I have managed to win two of them so far, so... leading the series, but only by a slight margin, that's for sure.
Yeah, I checked the website. 5 points between you and Danielle Musto. That's pretty close.
Yeah, it's definitely a close series so far, and different from last year. So last year, I actually didn't make the trips out to Michigan, so to talk a little bit about the first three races of the year so far. First one was at the Selfish Chase that took place here in St. Croix Falls. Second race was Fat Chance, which was up in Traverse City, which is a pretty long drive for me. And then the third race was just recently in Grand Rapids. And that was the Vivant Brewery Farmhand race.
Mm-hmm.
And actually ended up staying with a fellow teammate and competitor, Daniel Musker, at her place. She put me and my husband up for the weekend. And so certainly, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think Danielle is somebody that really got me excited about the sport of fat biking a couple of years ago. And, you know, she's kind of taken me under her wing a bit, got me really excited about the series. And this is the first year that I've actually made a commitment to really target going after all eight of the races. And so it's certainly probably just the biggest challenge in trying to find a way to put together all of the travel and whatnot, but certainly it's certainly a friendly, competitive environment, and it's fun being in her hometown and you know, her mechanics joking about how they're gonna mess with my bike and, you know, things like that. So it's certainly a friendly, playful competition, and we've developed a pretty good friendship over the last 2 years, and even have had a chance to race some team races in the summer, the Wausau 12 Hours. So certainly, she is my toughest competition, but one of the things that's really neat about the series this year is, you know, it's really the growth in the women's field. I think, you know, a couple of years ago, the first year or so, there might be, I don't know, 3-4 of us women at one of these races, and now it's pretty commonplace to have a stacked field of, you know, 5 to 10 women that toe the line, and seeing some of the biggest women's fields that we've seen, especially for fat bike racing. So it's been fun so far, and we're really only three races in, with 5 races still to go.
Right on. So the race series moves to your home state of Minnesota for the next few races. Do you feel better about racing closer to home? You know, chasing the championship involves a lot of serious winter travel. How's that work for you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a relief to be racing closer to home. The race this coming weekend is the Penn Cycle Fat Tire Whopper, which actually is in Minneapolis, which is pretty much my hometown. So I'm really looking forward to sleeping in my own bed on Saturday night and And certainly that does put me at ease a little bit. I like the fact that I was able to go on the road here in January and managed to win one of those races. It's definitely difficult. So I think the travel definitely takes its toll. Certainly just not just from the time in the car perspective, but just really trying to, you know, manage to get in good training between the races. It's a really compact race season. So there's just some challenges in that travel aspect of it. And definitely ones I knew going into, you know, being willing to kind of chase the series this year. And, but yeah, certainly now this coming weekend we'll be close to home. And then the following weekend's Cuyuna Lakes Whiteout, which is in Crosby, Minnesota. And so that's only about 2 hours for me. And then the next race after that, so it'll be 3 weekends in a row, is the Frozen 40, which is back here in pretty much the Minneapolis area. So it's certainly an advantage for me to be close to home. It makes the travel stress less and, you know, able to kind of rejuvenate in between races a little bit more. So definitely happy to be here in Minneapolis for at least in Minnesota for the next few weeks.
Well, cool. The way the series looks, since it's so tight right now, it looks like it's going to come down to the last race, which is the Fat Bike Berkey and Cable. Does it make it more difficult to prepare for a race course that you really can't preview until the day of the race?
You know, that's actually a pretty interesting question, and I absolutely love Fat Bike Berkey. It was by far my favorite race last year. It was the course conditions, like you said, I had no idea going into the race. Everybody said it's super fast, the course is amazing, but, you know, even up until the point of race morning, like, I had never ridden on those trails plenty of times in the summer, but never in the winter, so I don't ski, so I certainly had never skied on those trails either. Yeah, so it was interesting going into it, and, you know, but I think it kind of adds to the adventure, and really when I think about fat bike racing and, you know, and just all the travel that's involved, it's actually pretty rare that I do get the opportunity to free ride a course before the race day. It's certainly an advantage to be able to kind of know the course, but, you know, I think it actually levels the playing field a bit at a race like that Big Berkey, where everybody kind of goes into the race having that, you know, that same kind of, you know, they're all kind of starting in the same spot. You don't have a few local people that, you know, have ridden on the course a ton. It really kind of levels the playing field. And yeah, I like that component of it. And, you know, you don't really know what's around the next corner. And, you know, to give you as an athlete in the race, you can kind of ride on the edge a little bit more and take some more risks. And, you know, I kind of enjoy that aspect of it. But, you know, certainly Fat Bike Berkey this year will, you know, it could very well be, you know, the series decider. I think, you know, if you have a series in a situation where you need a tiebreaker, that is the final race. And it's a hilly one, which certainly makes it challenging, but it's also a very fast course, and, you know, you can really put down a lot of power in a race like that. So I'm definitely looking forward to Berkey, but I think we got, yeah, another four races until then. So it's kind of interesting to think about it because it's only, I don't know, 6 weeks away, but we've still got another five races in the series left. So
cool.
Winter goes by fast these days, that's for sure.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Right on, April. Good luck with the races leading up to the Berkey, and I'll be up there covering that for our illustrious website here. So I hope we can meet in person and maybe do a little chit-chatting up there. And thanks for joining us on the show today. Yeah.
You ought to come have a beer at the after party.
Awesome.
It'll be at this.
Just have one, dude. It's going to be over, right?
Right. I think this year the party's at the Sawmill in Sealy. So it'll be nice centrally located there, and we'll look for you, hopefully on the podium.
Right on. Well, thanks for being on the show, April.
I hope so, too. That will be fun. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Bye.
This week's interview flashback is presented by the Winter Rush Fat Bike Series. Winter Rush is the home of the Michigan State Fat Bike Championships and will be your host of the 2017 USA Cycling Fat Bike National Championships. For more information, click on the Winter Rush banner in the show notes.
Damn it, I looked at him. You know what I was thinking while he was...
WinterRush.com!
You know what I was thinking as he was reading that? I was wondering if, like, Rebecca Rush had a kid, would she consider naming the kid Winter Rush? Because that's kind of a cool name. Or Mountain Rush or Summer Rush. There's a lot of things that could go with Rush, I would think. That's quite a good name if you're a professional athlete. Rush.
Indeed.
Next up is an interview with the one and only Rebecca Rush from show number 40.
Wow, how apropos was that that I came up with that? Ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca Rush.
Hey, please welcome to the show world champion endurance mountain biker and author, Rebecca Rush.
Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Hi, how's it going?
Going good. How about you?
Oh, I'm in a hotel room, an outdoor retailer, so taking a break to talk to you guys.
Sweet. I'm pretty sure that makes your day to talk to us rather than stand out there at the outdoor retailer show. So we invited Rebecca to come on the program and tell our listeners about the first USA Cycling Fat Bike National Championships, which are coming up on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Boys, go get your cards out there in Ogden, Utah. Let us know about that, Rebecca.
Yeah, I was out in Utah. I came here a couple days early with my husband, Greg Martin, he's actually the course director with Great Clay Promotions for the event. And we had the opportunity to actually come out and pretty ride the course and check it out. First-hand experience. It's up at Powder Mountain outside of Ogden, Utah, and it was so much fun. We were laughing the whole time. The cool thing about this course is they have a really dedicated groomer, and the mountain there is super supportive to have fat bikers come. So we had gone out there about a month ago and kind of talked about what would be a good course, and Roger, the groomer, has been working on it for a month. And he's taking a lot of pride in it, which is cool. And this guy used to be a bike racer as well, so he gets it. But basically, most of the course is going to be on wide groom trails, so they're using, you know, a standard sort of Nordic groomer. And you start up, what's beautiful about this location is it's up on basically the highest you can get. It's an upside-down ski resort, and so you start at the top. So you're up there, 360 views of the beautiful Utah mountains, and then the place where the course is going to go, we start at the top, and then we take all these rolling fields, lots of undulations through some aspen trees, make a big loop that's about 10 kilometers around the resort. So basically, the amateurs are going to do two laps, and the pros are going to do three laps. And what's really cool about the course, I mean, there's some climbing, there's some great descending, and actually Roger, the groomer, he's built these really tall berms. So on the descent, it's actually kind of like a free ride course with some rollers that you can jump, and you can get up on the berms on your snow bike. And so Greg and I are just laughing. And then it dives into some single track, which is really cool, through these aspen trees. And then the second half of the course is where you know, kind of the meat and potatoes of the fitness part of the course is where you climb basically back up towards the resort. And it's quite a bit of climbing. It's gradual climbing. It's all totally rideable, but that's definitely going to be the part of the course where you're having your laps on the way down, and then you're like, all right, I got to finish this lap and climb back up and out of it. And then you do your second or third lap. And I think it's going to be a really cool venue. Like I said, the resort is super supportive. They're going to have demos out there for people to try on Friday, the day before. I'm going to be hosting free clinics and rides Friday before the race for anybody who just wants to come try it or pre-ride the course with me. And I think for the first USA Cycling Fat Bike National, this is the ideal location, and it's going to be a ton of fun, whether people are just coming out and riding it for a laugh or really trying to go home with, you know, a Stars and Stripes jersey.
Nice. I think it's going to be interesting to see what some of these bike manufacturers put together for teams and see if they aggressively bring pro riders in from Europe and Colorado and Alaska and see who shows up to this. Have you got any inkling of some big names that are going to race?
I don't really know. I've heard inklings that Ned Overton's going to show up. You know, he's been getting into fat biking. I know Amanda Carey, who's also, you know, a fellow Idaho fat bike girl. She's going to be there. I'll be there. But I don't really know, actually, who's going to show up or who has a fat bike.
Since it's a national championship, they have age groups starting at young as, and then they go all the way up to, I mean, there's a bunch of different levels. Do you have any idea how many different classes they're going to award Stars and Stripes jerseys to?
Yeah, I think for this one, normally they have 5-year increments with USA Cycling, and they're doing 10-year increments for this one. Since it's a smaller category, we don't really know how many people are going to show up. And so, yeah, there'll be jerseys awarded, you know, 30 to 40, 40 to 50. I think they go up to 80. I'm not sure. And then they definitely have a juniors category for sure, and then the pro category.
I think they have single-speed categories, too.
Sweet.
There is, which I was like, you guys, nobody rides single speeds on fat bikes, but I think, you know, for this first year, they put it out there, see who shows up. So, if you just really want a jersey, that could be the category to maybe hone in on.
I'm going to cherry pick the over 50 Portly Clydesdale single speed.
You'll be in there with Ned Overend.
not on single speed.
Age-wise, though, same age range.
So I'm going to be there shooting pictures, so we'll... We'll make sure to get a picture of you and, you know, shake hands and whatnot.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll teach you the
secret. I'm telling you, if you can't get a good picture at this location, then you should find another profession than photography because it's so beautiful. I found myself looking out, you know, out of the mountains. I'm like, oh, wait, focus on the course. It's a really beautiful spot.
This is someone who lives in Ketchum, Idaho, right? That's saying this. So
yeah, exactly.
Ketchum is beautiful.
Hey, Rebecca, speaking of beautiful, I know you just recently did JP's backyard pursuit. How'd that go?
I did. This year was much better. Last year I had to drop out with coughing up blood and had a lung infection and basically DNF in the race. So this year I came back for some redemption and I took fourth overall and won the women's field. And yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful place. You cross the Continental Divide, you know, you're going back and forth across this sort of high ridge. It's a really cool event. And then, of course, you go into the night, which I love night riding. That's always kind of fun. But Jay does a really good job. You know, it's 200 kilometers, so it's not for everyone. Where this, you know, the Fat Bike Nationals with USA Cycling, it's much more approachable for people. You know, it's a couple-hour race, something that anyone can do and race it as fast or slow as you want.
Sure.
Well, cool. Well, before we let you go, I want you to tell us about your new book and maybe where people can come and meet you and have you sign their book.
Yeah, you know, the hardest thing I've done in my life was produce that book. It's called Rush to Glory, and it's just out this year. And I will have books at the USA Cycling Fat Bike Nationals at registration. So if you're there, you can get a signed book from me there. And then also on my website or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And, you know, it's not just a cycling book. It's the idea behind it is inspirational storytelling. So I talk about adventure racing and swimming the Grand Canyon and, of course, bike stuff. But I think there's something in there for everybody, basically about, you know, pushing harder and not giving up and kind of living a life of adventure. So, yeah, Rush to Glory if anybody wants to read the book.
Super. Well, thanks very much for being on the show. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day.
Yeah, it's been great having you on the show.
I'll be excited to see you. Valentine's Day is we'll spend Valentine's Day together, right?
With Gomez.
With Gomez.
Sven has other plans. Thanks again, Rebecca.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Last but not least, we're going to close the show with an interview with Sonia Looney from show number 39.
Please welcome to the show the posh and fabulous Sonia Looney.
Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Hi, guys.
Hey, good to have you on the show.
So just for our listeners, Sonia
thanks,
is a...
Thanks, nice to be here.
Sonia is a pro ultra endurance cyclist that's been on the top of the world stage race and 100-mile podiums over the last 4 years. Recently, she took on a role as a marketing strategist for one of my favorite brands, Alaska's Fatback Cycles. What is a pro ultra endurance cyclist? I think I wrote this, but I have no idea what that means.
Maybe Sonia can tell us.
It means you love pain and suffering. What it means is I race at the pro level, which doesn't really mean a whole lot. It just means that you've done a lot of racing and you've been able to upgrade your USA Cycling license at some point if you still have one. But I do a lot of 100 miles and stage races, like you said, all over the world, and I seek out the gnarliest, hardest races. So ones where you don't have people helping you and handing you water bottles and babying you. It's ones where you have to get from one point to another across the country and not whine about it, basically.
Well, right on.
And being a pro cyclist, you can automatically walk into that coveted role of marketing strategist. How did that come about?
Oh, well, I worked for Ergon for the last 5 years as their national sales and marketing manager. So I got a lot of experience there. And I also worked for a startup solar engineering company as an engineer, but was also taking on marketing roles because it just sort of fit naturally. So between that and marketing myself as a professional athlete, I've gained a lot of really cool and unique skills.
Awesome. So we have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a question from one of our test pilots when he heard you were going to be on the show. Matt Gersub, he'd like to hear about how your fat bike racing aspirations. Are you going to join the fat bike riders, Tim Burnson, Kevin Breitenbach, Jeff Oatley, and Heather Best at the Iditarod Trail Invitational this year?
Well, first of all, I don't think my name deserves to even be on the same list as those guys. They're absolutely incredible. And I do want to do the Iditarod someday. It's a ways out for me right now because where I'm at in my mountain biking career, I'm racing pretty much like February through October, so I need a little bit of an off season, which is what the winter is. So I can go out and enjoy some fun rides, but I'm not doing any racing. But eventually I'd love to do some fat bike racing. It's a challenge where I'm living in BC because there's not a lot of racing around here or even real legit trails to ride. But I definitely have maybe Arrowhead on my my list for someday, and maybe the Snow Epic in the Alps, and maybe someday the Iditarod, but I have to say I'm a bit intimidated by that one. But my coldest ride so far has been 2 hours and 8 degrees Fahrenheit. So I'm definitely a bit of a newbie and still learning about tires, tire pressure, conditions, and how to really throw the fat bike around. It's a different sport than mountain biking.
Oh, yeah. So Matt also wanted to know, aside from racing, what makes you love fat bikes?
Well, the reason that I love mountain biking is because I love adventure. So when I got a fat bike last year, I got a Fatback, and that's how I got involved with Fatback, and I loved the bike. It was so much fun. It's a winter adventure, and where I'm riding, I don't really know what to expect, and because I'm new, I don't know what to expect. So the terrain could be awesome, or I could be hiking my bike up and freshly packing in a trail for an hour only to ride down it, which is super fun. But I love the adventure aspect of it, and being out there in the winter time adds a different element that makes things a bit more challenging, and it just looks different. Everything's black and white, and things are a lot more quiet, and you see even less people generally than you do if you're out there during the summer.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
you do.
We know that Fatback recently started an ambassador program. Can you tell us a little bit about your winners and what they'll be up to in 2015?
Yeah, for sure. We wanted to support some really cool people with our Corvus carbon bike, and we got a pretty diverse group this year. This is the first year. So we have Pat Mage, who's from Wisconsin. He's a 7-time AMA National Moto Trials Pro Champion. Wow. So he's got some pretty awesome bike handling skills.
Yeah.
He's going to be sending us some videos and traveling around the country and using his fat bike for cross training for moto trials. So we've already seen some pretty cool photos from him. I think the guy can defy gravity, and he doesn't need a motor to do it, which is pretty cool.
He was on America's
Got Talent. I'll forget the bike.
Yeah, right.
America's yeah, right?
Yeah. He and his brother. Yeah.
That's a good idea. I should write that into his contract.
No, he was on. He was on one of those shows. I don't know if it was America's Got Talent or but he and his brother, they're incredible. So go on. I interrupt us. That's what I'm best at.
No.
That's my superpower.
It's good to interrupt. It's too boring if I just talk the whole time.
So
we have Liz Campy.
Yeah, sorry. I was just saying, so who else other than Pat?
Oh, yeah, Liz Campy. She lives in Gunnison, and she's a physical therapist doing some fat bike racing there, and she's also a pro mountain biker. She runs her own business called Inner Strength Coaching, where she coaches athletes in injury rehab and bridges the gap between traditional physical therapy and peak performance. So she's a pretty cool resource and definitely knows a lot of people in the Gunnison Crested Butte area, and recently was on the front page of the Gunnison Times riding a Corvus, which is pretty cool. And she's just generally a really fun gal, really friendly, and a great person to have associated with our brand. And Jumpin' Jerry Vanderpool. As his name implies, he jumps. He's a cricket on a bike. He just recently sent us a YouTube video of him on his first ride out on his Corvus, taking a bunch of jumps and railing some corners while providing commentary, which is pretty funny. He runs Hippie Tech Suspension in Boise, Idaho, and he's also riding a series for Vital Mountain Bike, Vital MTB. So he's been fun sending us some stuff. And we also have Ryan Schutz. Ryan Schutze, living in Cordova, Alaska. He's a commercial fisherman, and we had to pick one guy from Alaska. Come on. That's where we're located, in Anchorage. He's going to be taking a bunch of trips to the Oregon Dunes, some bike and raft trips, which Greg of Fatback Bikes has done a lot of, so we like that stuff. And Minnesota and California, and planning out lots of adventures, so he'll be good for getting our bike in front of a lot of different people and a lot of different places. And lastly, we have Nate Self of Central District Cyclery from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I hear your community is pretty awesome. I'm going to go up there this summer to visit. He's a fun guy in the community, promotes a lot of fat bike races, and generally is plugged in. So we like to have a couple people in the Midwest, because really you guys are, I would say you guys are the kings and queens of fat biking.
Oh, thank you. That's the way we see each other.
Which, are you? Queen.
I was just gonna say, are you the king this week, or am I? So it's pretty wild that out of those people, we actually know two of those people. Like
good choices.
Yeah, Nate and Pat are amigos. So well played.
Yeah, it was great. I had like probably 150 to 200. Applications
losers.
To read through, and there were so many cool people that sent in applications.
Sorry.
Did you get one from Julio.com?
Julio.com, our former beer guy.
I don't know.
Sometime beer guy.
Our beer intern.
I think maybe he probably just said on the show.
Expected it because he mentioned it on the radio. Ambassador. I want to be an ambassador.
Anyway, that the signal you heard, the cowbell that you heard, brings us to the final sprint of our interview.
Wait. I'm going to need more cowbell.
All right, here we go. She wants more cowbell. So we're up. Yep.
We're up to it.
Our interns.
All right.
He's on the cowbell. It's not really our intern. That was really bad. That was J.K. Liven.
J.K. Liven.
Do you have a cowbell intern?
We're looking for a beer intern. That's what we could really use.
That seems pretty easy to do. Like, BWWRUN. Come on, intern.
I know. So,
intern.
Answer these five questions as fast as you can.
Tubes or tubeless?
Tubeless.
Favorite craft style of beer and... favorite craft brewery?
IPA, Pine Forest in my mouth, Chinook and Simcoe Hop, Avery and Deschutes Brewery, and in BC, Parallel 49 in Vancouver.
See, Julio told us that she was a beer head.
There you go. Sonia, what tires are on your fat bike right now?
45 North Husker Du, but I need to try something fatter.
He-Man or Skeletor?
He-Man. I could crush Skeletor.
And last question, flats.
Yeah, real man here.
Last question, flats or clipless?
Clipless.
All right. We're gonna use that as some sort of fodder later for quizzing people.
Very good. Yep, they'll have to remember this interview in the back of their minds. Well, we've really enjoyed having you on the show, Sonia.
Yep, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, maybe
I can listen in and learn some more.
You bet. We're fonts of knowledge here at Fat Bike Radio.
I always like to say, don't be a stranger.
You are.
Or don't get any stranger.
All right.
We'll see you around.
Bye.
That's very possible. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps up this episode of the best of the Weekly Dose of Fat. Next week, we'll share a cavalcade of interviews with Fat Bike champions in the men's elite division.
We'd like to thank Surly Bikes for sponsoring the Weekly Dose of Fat. Check out the new Fat Bike sale going on at better bicycle retailers across the galaxy.
And far, far away.
Bye.
And cut!
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's Weekly Dose of Fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com. fatbikeradio.com/radio. We'll see you next time.